An airline pilot came on the intercom announcing an unexpected landing to repair some minor problem. And as the passengers groaned, he explained that a trouble light had come on and he didn't want to risk continuing to fly. "It'll take about 45 minutes to look into this," the pilot said, "so you can get off and stretch your legs for about half an hour if you'd want to." Everyone got off the plane except one man. He was blind, and his guide dog had been lying quietly beneath the seat in front of him for the entire flight. It was obvious he had taken this commuter flight many times before because the pilot approached him and said, "Keith, we need to stop here for almost an hour. Do you want to get off and stretch your legs?" And Keith responded, "No thanks, but maybe my dog would like to." And so everyone in the gate area gasped as the pilot, wearing his uniform and aviator sunglasses, walked off the plane, grasping the seeing eye guide dog's harness. Many of them ran immediately to the ticket counter, and they not only were trying to change planes, they were trying to change airlines. Oh, I love that story. Can you? I mean, it's a real visual. You can really imagine this scene in the waiting area. But I use this story to start out today because this is the first of three talks that I'm doing on change. And I've called this series From Transition to Transformation, because that's what we're going to be looking at, how to take life's changes and turn them around so they become transformations. And I think this is a great topic for these times, because all around us our changes are happening. You know, in our, not only in our individual lives, but in the world around us. Have you noticed? You know, our bodies are changing, whether you like it or not. You don't have the same body as you had, say, about 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even last year. And that may be good and that may be not so good. But we're not even the same age we were a year ago. You might not have the same job. Now, you might not be living in the same house. You may not be in the same relationship. And with the economy as uncertain as it is, there are many people out of work. So there are everywhere around us, there are changes going on, whether we like them or not, whether we acknowledge them or not. Life around us is changing in our own lives, in the world, and yeah, even in this church. Changes happen all the time. It's sort of like, and this is from Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventure in Wonderland. You know, the caterpillar saying to Alice, "Who are you?" I hardly know, sir, just at the present," Alice replied rather shyly. "At least I know who I was when I got up this morning. But I think I must have changed many times since then." So my question to you is, are you feeling like Alice? Are you feeling like that these days, that life is going so fast that you can barely keep track of who you are? You know, if so, then welcome to 2012. And, you know, I can't imagine a busier time in history. And I believe that technology is a drive behind this phenomenon. And we've got cell phones. We can talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. You know, there are emails. There's the Internet, Facebook, Twitter. We have news online, sports online, stock quotes online, and yes, even church online. In fact, you can check out our website at www.unityofbellevue.org. So, Gail Sheehy writes, "If we don't change, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we are not really living. Growth demands a temporary surrender of security. It may mean giving up familiar but limiting patterns, safe but unrewarding work, values no longer believed in, relationships that have lost their meaning. As Dostoevsky put it, taking a new step, uttering a new word, is what people fear the most." Gail Sheehy writes, "But I think the real fear should be of the opposite course." And so what Gail Sheehy is saying here is that even though we may feel uncomfortable, we may even be fearful, the worst is if we allow those feelings of discomfort or fear to get in the way of us moving forward through the inevitable changes of our lives. Because you have to face it. The only sure thing in life that you can absolutely count on 100% is change. It's change. Simply put, if we resist change, we resist growth, and we're stuck. But sometimes it feels change feels so uncomfortable that we begin to lash out at our spouse, our partner, children, family, friends. You know, at the very institution where change is occurring. And all the time, it can't be helped. You can't stop it. The change is going to continue. And so we need to kind of be okay with that and find ways to deal with it. Because the future is all about change. And so we're really lucky in Unity to be able to have some wonderful spiritual principles that will help us deal with change. And Robert Brummett, he is he's a Unity minister, and he's also the head of the pastoral care department at Unity Institute at Unity Village. He wrote a wonderful book, and it's called Finding Yourself in Transition. Highly recommend it. It's my book of the month. And if you or anyone else, I know somebody said, I bought it and I'm leaving it on the table hoping my daughter reads it. You know, whatever works. It's subtitled Using Life's Changes for Spiritual Awakening. And I love this book. It has two main messages. First thing, it offers a spiritual roadmap, a unity approach to navigating life's changes. And so, isn't it good sometimes to have a map to know where you're going? So this book offers us, and with a unity approach. The second thing I love about this book is that it shows that major life changes can lead to actual rebirth, actual spiritual renewal. And if we approach the changes clearly and with wise choices, highly recommended, wise choices. In other words, if we can work through our transitions, they actually become transformations, changing, transforming, changing the form of our life. They can actually be wonderful. And Robert Brummett he talks about a three-phase approach to transitions, that each transition goes through three phases. And I want to use, in its endings, the void and new beginnings. And I want to use this model for these 3 weeks in this series. And so the first phase is endings. Endings. We start with endings. A change, a transition has to begin with an ending. You can't have a new beginning without an ending. So endings help us move towards that new beginning. The second phase that we work through is the void. And this is a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of like wandering in the desert, almost like feeling if you've ever been tossed under, if a wave's pulled you under and you're not quite sure which way is up or you don't know which direction is the way out. That's how the void feels, but it is a necessary part of transitions. We're going to talk about that next week. But we hate that part. We hate not knowing. We hate the confusion. But you'll find how it's a very rich, very creative place to be. But we do everything we can to avoid the void. The final and last stage, then, is new beginnings. We love new beginnings. We want to get there immediately. But you can't have a new beginning without an ending. Endings are the promise of a new beginning. And so let's talk today about endings. This is our first phase of the transition process. Endings. I love T.S. Eliot, an American poet. He once wrote, "What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from." So we need endings. They're very important. But but we Americans, we rarely acknowledge the importance of endings. We like to just kind of shove them aside and move right on and just, you know, keep a straight face and just not feel anything. You know, we rejoice at births, but we see death as a tragedy. You know, we celebrate weddings, but we regard divorce as complete failure. You know, we're good at beginnings, we're not so hot at endings. But from a spiritual point of view, endings are just as important as a beginning. And in unity with, you know, with unity's understanding of how to deal with change, we can learn how to move through endings gracefully. Now, I do want to say here, I want to acknowledge the fact that no matter how much we prepare for endings, we're never fully prepared for them. I just want to say that. They're important, but even though we know they're coming, we go through this process of grieving the ending. And sometimes I think that one of the reasons why we kiss off endings is that we don't want to feel the grief and the pain that sometimes comes up around those endings. You know, but unless we, unless we deal with those emotions and not bury them, you know, our endings will never be resolved. And you'll carry all that stuff with you. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, how many here have had a relationship end badly, only to take that unfinished business into the new relationship? Can I see some hands? A lot of us do that because we haven't honored the ending. Now, transitions, they're very exciting. They can be very, very wonderful and exciting. They're, first of all, transforming events. They're absolutely transformative, not only for our individual lives, but for groups of people together, because groups go through changes too. And they are very much a transforming event. Transitions also are times of accelerated growth and learning. Have you noticed? You go through a change and it's like, you know, life has been put in fast forward. They're accelerated growth and you come out of it. You hate it when you're in it, but you come out of it and you say, that was the best thing that has ever happened in my life. So we must experience these changes and these transitions and these endings, not just shove them aside or sweep them under a carpet. Robert Brummett says, transition is a journey. It is a journey so important that we arrive a different person than we were when we departed. Don't you feel that every transition you've been through, every change, you are different. You're a different person. You don't come out of it the same. You're changed in the process. And so we arrive a different person than we were when we departed. Now, it's important to remember that it's not the event itself that alters our life, but it's the meaning that we give to that event. It's all the meaning and the perception of how we see that event. And so we must realize that God is not only guiding us through the transition, but God actually is the force moving you to the transition, which becomes transformational for us. Now, there's an epic story of a great journey, and it's recorded in the Bible. It's the book of Exodus. It's the story of the Hebrew people escaping from Egypt. Now, I want to just take a look at this story because it is a metaphor for how we move through transitions. And the story starts out where the Israelites, they're in bondage in Egypt, but it wasn't always that way. It was actually saved their lives at one point. Their ancestors had come voluntarily to Egypt because they were experiencing a famine in their land, and in Egypt there was lots of food. So the Israelites voluntarily came to Egypt. Robert Brummett writes, "What saves us at one point in our history can later imprison us. What saves us at one point in our history can later imprison us." And the exact same thing happened with the Israelites. What had saved them going to Egypt because there was food, later imprisoned them because somebody new came into power, they became slaves and their lives became very, very different and difficult. And so this, I'm sure, has happened to each one of us. What happened to the Israelites can happen to us too. You know, maybe you grew up as a child, as a child, and you had an abusive or alcoholic parent. And so you created coping skills in order to survive. And the skills that helped you are no longer useful years later. In fact, they actually may prevent you from having a trusting, fulfilling, meaningful relationship with another person. So the skills that saved you as a child, they're imprisoning you as an adult. There's time for a transition. It's time for a transition. And there was a time also for a transition in the lives of the Israelites. And God provided them with a great leader, Moses. And Moses convinced them they should leave Egypt, even though the future was murky and very uncertain. But the people, the Israelites, they caught Moses' vision of his incredible faith in God. And so they left. They followed Moses. And what happens? They find themselves caught between Pharaoh's army pursuing them and the Red Sea. Doesn't that happen to us? You know, we think we've moved on, and then all of a sudden we look over our shoulder and we see our past chasing us. You know, we can't escape it because we have not honored the endings. And if you don't honor the endings, your past will keep running after you. And you know how the story turns out. Thanks to Charlton Heston. The Red Sea parts. The Israelites go through. They get safely to the other side. The Pharaoh's army is pursuing them. They get halfway through. The waters close up again, and they swallow up Pharaoh's army. The story of the Exodus is only an ending. We're going to be looking at this. There's a lot more to the story. We're going to be looking at the story over the next few weeks because, as I said, it's a metaphor for moving through the transitions and changes of our own life. And so let's look at the metaphysical meaning of the Exodus for a moment. You know, in Unity, we don't look at the Bible literally. We look at it metaphysically beyond the literal word. And we ask, how does this apply to my life today? You know, we look at this story of the Exodus. So what was inherently good for the Hebrew people, Egypt, it saved their lives, became a place that they outgrew. You know, just think about those times, those situations and circumstances in your life that you outgrow. We outgrow certain experiences or things that we have thought and, you know, is good for us that we cling on to. We outgrow certain circumstances in our life. And so just as the Israelites looked to Moses to lead them out of Egypt, we have an inner Moses within us that leads us beyond our old life. Now, just like the Israelites, we may murmur, we may complain, we may be fearful. We may cling on to the old way of life and wanting it to come back. But we're in a transition. There may be resistance, but there's no going back. Ever tried? Have you ever tried going back to what was? Doesn't work. Doesn't work, so you got to keep going. You've got to keep going and you've got to cross that Red Sea that is in front of you. And as difficult as it may be, you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep on going. Because the promise is that the ending always leads to a new beginning. Always. And so I'd like to end with a story today. It's a true story about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison's laboratory, you know, Thomas Edison invented the incandescent light bulb, the telegraph, the phonograph, I mean, over 1,000 inventions. His laboratory was destroyed by fire one December evening in 1914. And much of Edison's life went up in flames. Much of his life's work was totally destroyed. And at the height of the fire, Edison's son frantically searched for his father among the smoke and debris. "My heart ached for him," he said. He was 67 years old, no longer a young man, and everything was going up in flames. His son saw his father then running toward him. "Where is your mother?" he shouted. "Go get her. Tell her to get her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again." Is that how you would respond to seeing your house go up? The next morning, Thomas Edison looked at the ruins and he said, "There is great value in disaster. All of our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." Thank God. In fact, the fire happened one evening. The next morning, he had his workers out already clearing the debris. And within months, they had a larger, more efficient facility than the original one. And he went on to continue to invent many, many things after that. It did not stop him. There's nothing to fear, even though it may feel very fearful. You know, there's nothing to fear, for the reason is, as Robert Brummett writes, always the Lord of our being is there guiding us and calling us forward to freedom. I love that. Always the Lord of your being is there guiding you and calling you forward to freedom. And so change, it's the incentive to explore new dimensions of living. Because in every ending is the promise of a new beginning. All you have to do is hang in there. I think the picture says 1,000 words. Just hang in there. And so join me next week as we move into the void. God bless you.